need to know that whenever people like us appear, there is warfare. Not normal warfare in heavenly places. I can't tell you the things that I saw this afternoon, so I don't need to bother you about that. Have you read the scripture where the disciples, Jesus sent them to, and they had results on the field, and they came back? They said, "Master, even demons, devils are subject to us in your name." What did Jesus answer? He said, "Do not rejoice." But before them, he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." He sent them to, and irrespective of the location, the result was consistent. Stay on this. Increase my voice. Irrespective of the location, the result was consistent. It was a proof that there is a controlling power in the territory that affects the destiny, that manifests the outcome of the destinies of men that lives in that territory. So it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you are living there. What is happening? Who is doing that? Why did you touch it? Wait. I don't like to be distracted. I will just stop here with it and then use my mouth. If you distract me, don't worry, don't let him increase it to where it goes. But if you reduce it, it's distraction to either increase more than it or reduce. Just stay where it is. Please. I will not say it anymore. Just pray in the spirit for 30 seconds. It's not going to be distracted. Just pray in the spirit. So Jesus was telling them that the reason why there is consistent result on the field, irrespective of persons, is because a warfare took place in heavenly places. So it doesn't matter whether it's Peter, it doesn't matter whether it reminds me of him. Wisdom, whether it's wisdom or Peter, doesn't matter the partnership, doesn't matter the gender, the result is consistent. Because what was causing the problem was all the symptoms that people see. I don't know if you're a medical person here, you will understand that there is a difference between the symptom and the sickness. So when Jesus appeared, what was interested in is the sickness. So what people had on the field, they complained of symptoms. They said that, "I struggle to do this, I struggle to do that, demons, sickness, you know, whatever is happening." But the challenge is that there is a territorial principality that is manipulating the outcome of the destinies of people that is found in that territory. The ministry is found in that territory. The business is found in that territory. The church is found in that territory. Even Christians found in that territory. They, have you not noticed, if you are from Lagos, you tend to become a kind of Christian. If you are from the north, you tend to become a kind of Christian. That is to show you that whatever it is, whether it be from darkness or light, that their administration is territorial in context. I hope you know that God doesn't see his churches in denominations. He sees them in territories. If you go to the book of Revelation, the Bible began to tell us when John had an encounter and he was brought up to place in God where there is a representation of the lampstands that is a token of heavenly representation of authority on earth. When John saw, we
saw the churches in Laodicea, we saw the churches in Smyrna, in Thyatira. It was then that we found out that there was no denomination that was mentioned. It was territorial. That means anything that God intends to do will be territorial. And even what Satan wants to do will be territorial. So what you notice is that when governing spirits begin to administrate the seats in heavenly places, are you with me? If you have to say amen. And these princes have, many of the time, they have legal rights to operate in those territories because of the activities that is going on around that territory. It was a prophet, I think, Shadu Savaraj. Have you heard of the man?
Yes.
He said that he met one of his prophets that is a friend. He was moving through an eastern part of Europe. And in those places, he noticed that the man was moving. And suddenly, his eyes was open in the spirit. And he saw two giant pillars that is reaching even to the skies. And then he saw desolations there in the spirit. And then he saw two giant beings that their head is far beyond what the eyes can see. Are you with me?
Yes.
So he began to ask questions. He said, should I, Lord, are you showing me this spirit so that I can declare that something? He said, no, that these spirits are operating on legal basis. That this location you are seeing, that during the Second World War, a lot of blood was shed in the territory. I speak in parables. And many of you will think, I've not started preaching of what I'm doing here now is prophetic business. And because you don't understand the taste of the spirit, you think you don't even know what is going on. It's prophetic business. And when you do prophetic business, you have to stand on scriptures and smuggle a cabin. That is how Satan does it. You won't know that something is, he just smuggles it. And then when you wake up in the morning, you will now notice that an enemy has done this one. He said that somebody planted wheat, and in the night, another came and showed tares. When we woke up in the morning, what we saw was tares. But we are not aware when that, the same manner, God does the same thing. That is why the church is called a place of coming. When he came and saw those things, he said that these things became possible as a result of the level of bloodshed that was on the land. Huh? So those demons have a lease, a contract lease, to continue to operate in that territory until priesthood in the light dimension has measured up to a plane in the spirit where there will be a territorial energy balance. See, just because God wants to do something, God is not just your father, he is also God and he is also king. Do you know what it means? It means that just because God wants to save you, he won't just save you. Have you not noticed that before you were saved, somebody paid for it? I thought God is God. He could have just said, you are saved. What's your name, my sister? Huh? Asebe. If God could have just said, you are saved. Is he not all powerful? Huh? Is he not almighty?
Yes.
Why did he not see you appear and say, you are saved? So even though he wants you saved, he has to do it in a basis that is just and legal. And on those days, he found out that there is no personality that retains the capacity to pay the price that is requisite, that is sufficient to buy you. So he has to step out as a man and become the offering himself. On that day, God became the sacrifice and the person receiving the sacrifice. It's a mystery. It's only in eternity that you can understand this scope of oppression. Huh? So even though God wants to save you, he is the holder of the divine scales of justice. The Bible says that his throne is established on justice and what? Righteousness. So just because God wants to do something, there are laws in the universe that he has to respect. That is the basis upon which, are you with me? That is the basis upon which, as long as believers doesn't live to a certain standard, according to the dictates of the scripture, then there is no way we expect the society to respect, to change. Because the Bible said that we are the light of the world, we are the salt of the earth. But there is a challenge. If the salt now loses the test, what are we going to do? You know, Jesus rose up to a moment. He said, now is the prince of this world, church. When is now? It is when you realize that the elements of the earth has been judged in our life. It is in those days that God will be just to judge. You see it? So God will not be just to judge if the same thing that they are subject to, that you too are subject to it. Are you getting the point? So what Satan does is to introduce the doctrine of Balaam. How many of you know the doctrine of Balaam? Balaam rose and raised 7 altars according to Barak and wanted to curse Israel so that he will retain the capacity to change and manipulate the outcome of their destiny. But on the day that he did that, give me a little money. On the day that he did that, nothing happened. Because he came from this side, there was shield. This side, there was shield. The Bible said that there was a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. That was the preservative structures that God put in place. That man had to enter the spirit and found out he gave Barak a counsel. He told him, what you need to do now is to turn them against their God. That is the doctrine of Balaam. And how do you do it? You smuggle a cargo so that God will not be just in citing the Israelites. And because he's a just God, he will look and see if there is iniquity among the people. If he found the same thing in you for which he's judging the other ones, didn't you notice that he won't go ahead? Else he will be unjust. Is it not true? So what he said, they smuggled more bitters, more by their women, smuggled them into the camp of Israel. And as long as they continue to sleep with them, they weaken the impact, the strength of their covenant. And then one day, God came. And then the man made another. And then God came and he noticed that he cannot continue to stand on behalf of these people. Because there is something amiss them that is the same thing with something that is outside. So before Jesus could stand and declare that the prince of this world is judged, he said that he came and he couldn't find anything where? Hey, anything in me. So as long as there are things that is in us that is the same with what is found in the people that we are expecting that God should do something so that his name will be remembered, nothing will happen. We have to bear a record in the spirit that what was found in them was not found in us. This is a hard gospel. What did the Bible say? Say, having in readiness to avenge all disobedience. When? So there is such a thing as when your obedience is complete. So, he has bothered me. I grew up in church, and in our church, it's not that though. I'm not saying it's wrong. Are you with me? Yeah. We can say, we used to use Holy Ghost Fire. Holy Ghost Fire. How many of you use Holy Ghost Fire? It's not bad. Yeah, it's good. It works, so. It works, especially if you know fire. Unfortunately, this thing is reality in the spirit. Both the name of Jesus, fire, all these things we mentioned, the blood of Jesus, their reality in the spirit. You can say, blood of Jesus, and Satan will take on you. As a matter of fact, some of you, if you are sleeping, somebody will come and land on you. Hey, it's happening to you, he will land on you, and you want to say Jesus. Somehow you now wake up and you speak in tongues. There is nothing in your tongues. You need fire. You need. Don't deceive yourself. What you need is a baptism of fire. So that when you say Holy Ghost fire, demons will realize that what you are saying is actually fire. It's not about the lingo in your mouth. It's about the spiritual reality that is communicated. Are you getting the point now? So if you shouted, I used to shout fire, I will even shout 50 times. But the result I'm seeing, based on how much fire I shouted, is not equivalent. I'm not saying something is not happening, but it's measured. If you want to cast demon, you'll be saying fire, you'll be doing like this. You and the demon will be doing like this. You'll be doing like this. Some of the time you tell me, I will not come out. and we thought we are doing the work of God. If you continue that way, you are misrepresenting Jesus. I tell you the truth in God. After some time, I said, I'm a young man, I can't continue like this. The others can continue being one, chasing one demon out for 2 days. I can't continue like that. They have lived their day. Let me warn you, you are still young. Don't waste your time in something that is not working. Let's find the truth in the scripture. Let's find it. Let's sit down. Let's be humble enough to realize that many of the things we believed, they were not true. Because it was handed down. Because if I ask you now, you will say that the Bible said that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee was bowed. That is not what is in the Bible. Every knee shall bow. There is conditionality on it. There are two things, two keywords you need to find there, in and shall. So you find out that the name of Jesus is a location in the spirit. It is not just a nomenclature. It is the circumference of kingdom authority. So when a man is found operating within that scope, within that frame of reference, then demons will respond. Are you with me? And then they respond to the degree of your submission to authority. You see, because me and you can mention the name of Jesus, but the rate at which demons and devils are subject to me my deeper. Not because I carry bigger Jesus or bigger Holy Ghost. It's simply because my obedience quotient is higher than your own. And then the capacity for you to... Are you with me? See, obedience and authority is tight. The measure of authority that a man manifests is dependent on his obedience quotient. They said, they spoke about Jesus. They said, I think this man can be better. I didn't plan to shout like this. I was speaking in tongues and fasting. Let me not tell you that part of the story. It is true that God called us. If not, we are not supposed to be here. In fact, those days I tried to come up, I tried to join drama, and they looked at me like this and said, better. And looked at me and said, you will have set up. I look at myself and say, how do I resemble Satan? I thought they used to give Satan to people that are black in the complex. That maybe this my brother now can ask you. Well, me, I'm not that. We are flowing in. We are just preaching there. For me, I'm not sure I'm as dark as you. And they told us the children on the school that Satan is black before me. So they called me first year that time. They said, you, go and ask Satan. It is then that I knew that I'm supposed to be at the back first for long. And when I'm tired, are you with me? Sometimes there are people that want to be seen. If God loves you, he will make sure nobody sees you. The more you are struggling to be seen, the more nobody will see you. In fact, you can come out and say, yeah! We don't know you. Nobody is seeing you. You won't know that as of that time, nobody is actually seeing you. I don't want to show you, I don't want to teach you the
the mystery behind hearing, the mystery behind manifestation. It doesn't matter whether you are hiding inside the house. If God says, see this person, the most important people will be seeing you when you are in your element. Once you are in your, they will see you. But if you bring out yourself, they will only be seeing you when you are forced, why are they not seeing me when I'm doing well? It's not when I made a mistake. That's when all of them saw me. Don't touch. The person speaking from the window, are you sure it's from God? It's only said that I'm from the window. Sorry for the humor. Let's stand by the atmosphere. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when these men went on the field, they had the same results. And once it's concerning territory, God has to be just. He has to measure certain things and check if there is territorial balance in energy. You see, when scientists say that energy cannot be destroyed but can be converted from one form to another, you need to know that there is only spirit beings that understand the language of energy. When you enter the realm of the spirit, they don't operate by human lingo. What they understand is energy. That's what they respond to. So a spirit can stand like this and determine where you are coming from and the plane you are operating by the energy that you emit. Are you with me?
Yes,
so the two of us can stand, but when demonized people see me stand, they begin to shake. Why? There is a language that I'm communicating, and that language is a language of energy. Huh? But you, we can stand before a demonized person, and you will say, come out. Me, I will stand before my own. I'll be saying, how are you? Nothing is wrong with you now. Is anything wrong with you? As I'm saying it, the person will be free. But you will be doing,
I bind you. Jesus, in the Bible says, by the name of Jesus, every knee bows. By the name of Jesus, every knee bows. By this reason, the Son of God was made manifest. To destroy the work of Satan. Your work is destroyed, Satan. Your work is destroyed.
The person will be, whoa! And then say like this. And then you level for 15 minutes. You know, my brother, I decided not to live like that. It's frustration. God says you do deliverance when it's 9 in the night. Because you are not eating. There is a system to box the demon. Then tomorrow we continue. You don't know what we are saying. Some of you have not seen it. I don't blame you. So you won't understand this thing we are saying. Huh? Maybe you have not even casted any devil before. Maybe you don't know that an average person you meet on the street is demonized. I'm not saying possessed. Huh? Even believers are demonized. I didn't say possessed. I said what? Demonized. That means to be demonized is to come under the influence of a demon. And it is to many degrees. I don't want to go there at all. If you are plagued by indecision in your life, every time you are faced with a choice to make, you make mistake. It's only you that doesn't know you are demonized. It's only a demon that can make you to live like that. And there are demons in, and there are demons with. I don't want to go there. God has told me that that's not where I'm going. I want to show you why these people went on the field and had the same result was because Jesus was doing business in heavenly places. Huh? What they saw was that people were sick on the field. What they saw was that small demons were disturbing them. What Jesus saw was that there is a principality that is controlling the activities of those demons in that territory. And as long as that principality is not displaced, there is nothing fruitful that you can do. We have been to miracle meetings and we commanded deaf ears to open. And the deaf ears opened. The person went back to the house and it became deaf again. How many of you have seen such a thing? You went back and you see my thing. Some of the time you even wonder whether the man of God is fake or is this thing working. You went back and what was plaguing you came back. It was a
a proof that there is a principality that is controlling the, making that thing to happen. As soon as you leave, he summons back the demons and afflicts you back again. So Jesus went high and he said, I saw Satan fall. I saw Satan fall like lightning. It was from there that business was possible. So if I send this my two brothers, they will have the same result. I send these two sisters, they have the same result. Do you know why? Satan fell. And on the days that Satan has fallen, men will go into the street and will have Bible results. Not because they are doing something special, not because there is special skills, but because the controlling spirit making men to behave in a certain way has been broken off. I hope you know that people don't behave. Even now that you are born again, the way you behave is not as a result of the influence of the Holy Ghost. That means men that is in the world that behave the way they behave is as a result of the influence of the spirit. When the influence is taken away, they become normal. Their heart can be penetrated by the light of the gospel. So every attempt that a man is making outside of the ambience, a situation where the hold of Satan has been broken, is an effort in activity. So that hold has to be broken. Warfare has to take place. It is there that Jesus showed us that the principal ministry of the believer is priesthood. Are you with me? What did I say? What? Priesthood. Oh, that's not where I'm going. I just said this so that the people that will take notice will take notice. I hope you know it's not only human beings that is in attendance in this meeting. Spirits are also in attendance. After last night's meeting, some of them came to find out. I know you don't know that there is a way you minister. If you go back, that's not the time to sleep. A young man that is a minister. A young man that is a minister. I know you will look at me and say, I'm a young man. Maybe this guy, is he not my mate? I'm not your mate. Sorry, I'm not your mate. I'm sure I'm older than everybody, anybody here. I'm sure. If I tell you my age, you'll be shocked. Don't mind this, my face. It's a mystery. How I'm still looking this young. That's part of it. So, a young man came and he went, God anointed him, he went for a ministration, he went on a crusade. And things happened. Some cops came and met him and said, who told you? You didn't ask us for permission. And you are doing this thing that you have been said. All of you, get out! Do you know who I am? They said, we will deal with you. He said, all of you. He finished and things happened. He went in the night to the hotel room and slept. You know where he woke up? Inside the shrine. They tied him hand and foot inside shrine. I'm not saying in the spirit. He woke up. He slept in the hotel room. Woke up physically inside the shrine with legs and feet tied. Man of God. How many of you have heard of Benihim? He said that prayer is superior to the anointing. Meanwhile, he is an epitome of the anointing. If there is a being that defies the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Benihim is that being. But he came and told us that prayer is superior to anointing. So the anointing will move, and then that anointing is the very reason why spirits will come and find out, where is this thing coming from? And then they come. You have one leg hanging like this. Woe unto you, that day. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. I don't want to go there. Let me show you one or two things in the scripture. John chapter 5. Is there a projection? Can they project here? Can I work with the person? Yes. Is that my picture I'm seeing there? just snap the picture. Come on, even our media, they work better than our technical. There is something, if you give me the sound I want, you are not giving me, I'm just checking. But join me in 15 minutes and wait. Join me in 15 minutes. Pray in tongues. Many of you don't know what you are doing. It is the business of spirits. How many of you have seen native doctors? You don't know this. It's only you that is. Anyhow you appear, you are serving God. Anyhow you appear, you are serving God. Even if you are a governor, you come inside their shrine, they tell you, remove your shoes! And your governor will remove his shoes. They remove your pants, you remove it. Your governor will remove it like a child. It's only you that will come before the king of the whole earth and think you can serve him anyhow. See, the problem with the average believer is that they don't know how to serve a spirit. Unfortunately, God is a spirit, and they that will worship him, serve him, will do so in spirit and truth. You don't know what it means to serve a spirit. It is normal with young people, until you grow, at least mature in the spirit, you will understand that simple things can make all the difference. There is not much between two people. It can be very simple. Let me show you something quickly. Let me lay a foundation. Then, this is my brother now. As I hope that he will now strike a chord in the spirit. And then we fly. We take off. When we take off, some of you will land in your family. When we take off, we'll be here, we'll land in your family. And then, heavy things will happen. There is a reason why our God is called the Lord God of hosts. Do you know why? It means that he doesn't go alone. Anytime he's moving, there is an entourage moving with him. That's one. Put this revelation on one side. I want to add another one. Another one is that, have you noticed that God is called the King of Kings? I mean, he's a king over kings. Who are those kings? We are those kings. That's it. So his job is to be king over us, because as long as a man is in charge of a territory, there is a kingdom to administrate. If there is a kingdom to administrate, there is a king in charge. The structures of a territory is found within this framework. Throne, priesthood, altars, scepters. These are the things you see. And once you see a throne, there is a king. God is the King of Kings. So he is the king. He is your king, is he not true? Unfortunately, many people have not understood their kingly ministry. So if God is king of princes, I don't want to go far. As long as there is no territory you have held down for God, that Jesus has not become a king in that place, you are still a prince. And if you are a prince, what you have is, a prince is a potential king. He has not yet become a king because there is no territory in his mind. Are you with me now? So God is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means he comes with a host. And if the King of Kings comes with a host, then his kings also come with a host. Do you know what it means? It means that if you can't just appear here anyhow, there are certain angels you have to come with. That's given. There are certain angels who come. Some of them are warrior angels. Warrior angels. Sometimes I will begin to minister and I will, if we see myself, my modulation in the spirit is being manipulated by that kind of angel. I will literally feel the weapons and the equipment and the armors of God around my spirit dimension. It is from that plane You can be here. It will seem as if you are doing something, but heavy things are happening. Heavy things. Structures are being uprooted. That's what will happen in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John chapter 5, verse 31. Let's start from verse 31. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for us. You know what will happen? If you have your Bible, open your Bible. I know this projection is good, but open your Bible. Open your Bible. Somebody came to another person's house, and the person dropped $5,000. And as they are eating, soup wanted to fall on the money. The man took the money, put it inside the Bible that he found in the house. When he left, the owners of the money accused the man of God of stealing their money. For months, they didn't talk to the man. He said, this man is a thief. Until one day, the wife met the man and said, we didn't expect this from you. Why did you steal the money? He said, steal which money? The soup that went to prom on the money, and he took it and put it in the Bible. That means for 6 months, they have not opened their Bible. I don't know if you are laughing, but your Bible is still very... There is a, if you see Bible that is in use, it seems as if it's my handle. There is no price for having a Bible that is very, very new. Your Bible needs to look at something that is going to work every day. So open it so that you will be reading. Number one, verse 31, it says, for I bear witness. Amen. For I bear witness of myself, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that he might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father had sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, had borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Amen. Now watch. If you are intelligent in the scriptures, one of the first things you notice here is that there is a context to this scripture. So every of the revelations and the insight, the truths that is found thereof, can only make meaning. The power in it can only come out. The power of transformation and building can only come out if we build precept upon precept and line upon line. And this can only be possible when we stay in context. You will notice that the context of this scripture is borrowed from just one word. There is one word that is consistent in almost all the verses that we read here. What is that word? Witness. You will now see that the basis for the dimensions that was revealed of these two men. There are two men that is being spoken about in this scripture. The man John and the man Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I hope you know that, in fact, when Jesus stayed upon the face of death, he preferred to be called the Son of Man. I don't have time to tell you the reason why. He's only a man that can die for the sin of men. Huh? And on the day that he appeared and Pontius Pilate asked him all the questions that they asked him, the Bible said, when Pontius Pilate finished, he told them, behold the man. Meanwhile, before that time, there was a verdict from heaven. And the verdict said that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Huh? After some season, he now said, the same language, but he said, hear him. That means from that day henceforth, Jesus became the man of God. Actually, there is only one man of God. And that man of God is Jesus. Huh? Yes. The Bible said that he became the captain of our salvation through suffering, so that by that means he can draw many sons unto glory. And the title that was given after that adventure was the first begotten of the Father. Huh? He became something so that through him we will become that same thing he became. That means we are not a different kind of son in the kingdom. We are just a kind of son as a result of the son that Jesus became. So as long as this earth realm is concerned, there are only two men that has walked this earth. Adam and who? Jesus. So when Adam came, every other man was made after the similitude of Adam. Are you with me? When Jesus came, another race of men were made after the similitude. Huh? Let me hear the body. Another man were made after the similitude. So there are two men in this text that we read, and there is one context, and the context is witness. Are you with me? And if the context is witness, all the revelations that we are going to leave there has to stay in that context so that the power there will come out. So when you hear burning and shining light, it's only in the context of the witness. And when Jesus began to speak, he said that if I speak about myself, giving accreditation to myself, then I'm not qualified. That means in this kingdom, no man witnesses for himself. No man bears testimony for himself. You have to stand in a place where water will bear witness to the things that you are in the spirit. So the Bible said that Jesus was speaking here. He said, when you ask, John appeared to bear witness. And you remember that John said, there is a little on the body. You remember that John said that he that sent me to baptize. Meaning that baptism is a system in the spirit with one target, with one purpose. To identify the Messiah. He said, on whom the Holy Ghost comes in a physical form and stays. That one. And John was so much in the spirit in the days. I didn't say Philip. Just reduce more. In the days that the Holy Ghost came, John was so much in the spirit that Jesus was not even baptized yet. John saw him from far. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold. It has to be that way. Because John is a priest. If it was not because he was in the wilderness, he's supposed to be in the temple. That means the priesthood of that day represented in the person of John. Eh? But he tested the ministry of Jesus. It was the days of witness. Certainly the days of witness. I didn't hear it. The days of witness. Now you need to, by the time I'm through, you will find out that the fundamental ministry of the believer is witness. There is nothing more than the summary of the life that you live upon the face of the earth in representation of the kingdom of God is what we call witness. And you need to know that there are measures of witness, levels of witness. According to what Jesus was saying here, at the first stage it was John, and it was good enough in the beginning, because as of that time nobody knew him. And somebody has to give him accreditation. And on that day, a man that is coming from the lineage of the priest, that even them that is in the temple recognize that his father was a priest. Zechariah, John appeared and said, this is the Lamb of God, the Messiah. He said that even him and nobody for losing his shoe lashes. And everybody was looking. We know John. Herod knew John. Everybody knew John. Who is this person that John is submitting to his ministry? Validating that this man is a great man. So Jesus was saying, in case you think I'm not anybody, that God sent John to come and validate my ministry, to come and bear witness. In case I don't get to that place, there are two kinds of witness. There is what we call, there are two kinds of witnesses rather. There is what we call witnesses of. Then there is what we call witnesses unto. They are not the same thing. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, witnesses unto is what can only happen from the realm of the spirit. It can only happen as a result of our understanding of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Are you with me? But witnesses of are men that we are there literally, physically, to see what was happening. Just like if I ask you what happened here yesterday, you can say this one happened. You are witnesses of the event and the manifestation. Are you with me? But what it means to be a witness is unto what happened yesterday. Is that by the time you are leaving the meeting, the same thing that happened, you can do it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you now seeing it? If you can do what happened here yesterday, you are witnessing, you are a witness unto the meeting. So everywhere you appear, you are an evidence that a meeting like that took place. Is it not true? But the man that is a witness of can only tell a story. But the one that is a witness unto his life, he can manifest the same dimension that was seen. So the Holy Ghost came so that the believers will retain the capacity to live and manifest the dimensions of Jesus. So as long as they are alive and around on the plane, on the face of the earth, men cannot deny that Jesus is still alive. Because their kind of life is such that validates that Jesus is still alive. Not just because they saw and ate with Jesus, but because they have retained the capacity to minister in the same state and dimension that Jesus ministered. The same power, authority, the same skill in the spirit, the same way Jesus ministered, they were able to minister. Are you with me?
Yes.
Showing us that there is a fundamental difference between witnesses of and witnesses unto. Both of them are important. But for the fact that we have entered the age and realm, now, don't be distracted. Don't worry. Now, for the fact that we have entered into the age and time where it is not possible for us to be witnesses, remember, the Bible spoke about the apostles of the land, and one of the accreditation that was given to them as the basis of the apostolic authority was that they stayed with Jesus physically. Are you with me? They said that these are the men that were with us from the beginning. That is one of the basis of the apostolic authority. So it means that these people saw Jesus face to face. It is important. That is important. Very, very important. As the scripture was saying, let me hold this. I think in the book of 1 Corinthians, it said there that Jesus suffered according to the scriptures. He died according to the scriptures. He resurrected according to the scriptures. Meaning that the death and the life of Jesus upon the face of the earth is a historical fact. Are you with me? That means we can trace what he did to history. And if it is true, then there are men that lived in those days that can bear record. I mean, that can witness, that can say we are dead. And every of the apostles of the land, especially the three closest, they spoke about the encounters they had with Jesus as witnesses of, as the basis of the fact that they have an irrefutable claim on the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. When Peter was saying in the book of 1 Peter, he said in that place that we saw his glorious majesty on the mountain, that we saw him appear, even though he finished and said that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Even John said the same thing. He said, what our eyes have seen, he said, our hands have handled, he said, of the word of life. Are you with me? Follow me now. Now that means I've shown you now that the basis for this scripture is witness. So when the scripture began to go down, it began to give us measures of witness. At the first stage, it was just enough that John was the witness to the ministry of Jesus. Are you with me? But after some time, Jesus knew that the witness of John is not enough for his ministry. He said that there is a witness of the work of the Father through him. Are you with me? Tell me, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. That means a time came when it is just enough that people will say you are a believer. People will be calling you pastor, man of God, the way you are walking. Like, look at this, my guy, man. The way he's dressed like a man of God. So because that one is enough until you meet people that don't understand this dressing. Are you getting the point? When you meet people that don't understand this dressing, there must be another measure of witness. Because the witness of dressing is enough. Are you getting the point? My sister, the witness of you see the way you are dressed with your fine beret, it is good enough for us inside here. There is a place we reach. You will need, as good as this witness is to the fact that you carry Jesus inside, and then we come and a season, a place, a circumstance will arise that we demand more than the witness of the rest. Eh? And on that day, you need something more. That is what Jesus realized.
Hey, some sisters don't like this, my message. I want to help you. Don't see it as self. If you see it as self, you'll be helped in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
It's better you hear the truth. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not set you free, make you free.
Okay. There is a difference between if you say set, it seems as if it's an instantaneous event. You say make, it's a process. But I found that before the truth makes you free, it makes you mad. Yeah? It will upset you. It will make you feel bad. Like a man of God was speaking to me in 2011. And he said, look at you now. They said, go and preach. You got to preach all the time. You are carrying the when you see blind eyes, you run away. You see demons, you run away. Look at you. You are like unbelievers. No power, no nothing. I said, who is this guy talking to? Do you know who I am? I'm a pastor's type. They gave me a pastor in training, age 19. You know when we started? I got born again, age 11. Started preaching the gospel. I won many souls. If my father died now, I take over from him. Demons don't understand that one. I didn't know I was just one of the sons of Stephen. Huh? Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. They now look at me and say, Edu, who are you? You see, this thing looks humorous, but it's a big question in the spirit. Are you with me? So after some time, it is no more enough that John gave bore witness to Jesus. It was good enough in the beginning. After some time, there needs to be works. And then the Bible said, it is when you get to the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that you find out what Jesus was making reference to. He said that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he's saying? He just said, can you imagine to the extent to which God anointed Jesus? You can't imagine. Imagine to the extent to which Jesus was anointed. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. One, and what? I don't want to go there because the Holy Ghost is not the same thing as power. After all, you have the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues. Where is the power? Huh? Don't you speak in tongues? Where is the power now? Because we are going to bring crippled legs. Is that one the man's power? I was preaching like this, and suddenly a lady fell down and she was dying. She was giving up the ghost. Me, I was preaching. You know, there is no bigger. Satan wants to do it before my face. You know, if it's not in your face, if they call you to pray on the phone, you pray on the phone and say, Kai, if I was there, you didn't call me on time. You didn't tell me on time. My brother is happening before me. If there is anything you can do, do it. And I was preaching and vibrating. Satan needed to do it when I was carrying the mic. And saying Jesus is God, is powerful. Before me, as I was saying it, the lady fell and was dying. She was giving up the ghost. Giving up the ghost before me. I looked at her, I said, you can't die in my meat. You can die somewhere else, but not in my meat. I looked at the spirit. I say, you spirit of death, I know you. You see, I've threaded some paths, and I can recognize some spirits. My eye doesn't even need to be opened. As soon as I appear, see, everything I'm mentioning, there is somebody suffering it. That's how I operate. I may not have time to be giving you word of knowledge one on one, but there are people that the spirit of death hands over. Sometimes the spirit will come and tell them, you will die. You will die before the middle of the year. Don't travel. If you travel, you will have accidents. As they are moving on the road, they are moving. And a bike will be moving. They say, this bike now will hit you and you will end up with that. It's the spirit of death. It is first of all cast now. The Bible says there is what we call the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you have heard this? Huh?
Yes, sir.
before this, what the spirit does is that in his oppression, it will first of all cast a shadow over you. Once it casts a shadow over you, it will torment you for long enough for you to believe the impact of the shadow. I think, listen to me. Hallelujah. You play now. I told the lady that you are not going to die on her feet. Commanded her to wake up. This, as I was calling the spirit to leave her, the spirit was behaving as if he doesn't want to go. But I've also read my Bible, where Jesus commanded the spirit to leave the young man. And as he commanded, the Bible said that the spirit taught the young man so much that the people thought he had died. That's what happened. But as per whether you will obey, you will obey. You will obey. After some time, the witness of John is no more. We need the witness of works. Both the works of power and the works of character. Are you with me? Amen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you need the works of character. I'm trusting God that God will give you circumstance, territory, generation-specific witness capacity. Because there are places you will appear. It will become obvious that nobody can keep money there. There is a spirit that makes people to be greedy. Once they see money, they misbehave. I'm telling you because I'm a pastor too, and I've moved around pastors. Don't worry, we'll pray and nothing will happen. God will still move. Know that this one helps us, helps you too. Because when you play this one, it helps you. Only necessarily help you. Huh? Now, there are pastors, I've seen pastors. In fact, my father was, I don't want to call the name of the association. That association that is in charge of, that one you are thinking about. That's the one. Huh? I've been in many meetings. My brother, if they are sharing just rice, just food, you will see some people, Jesus has not touched their heart. What they can do with food is amazing. Huh? Women, they can do wonders once they see food. And I say, what are these people? I thought we are supposed to be fasting. There is a way you fast. The tendency is to reject food and to accept it. I've noticed. The day my father, once he cooks food and calls them, I notice that normal days they come only themselves. On the day they notice they will share food, they will come with their children and their wife because of food. You give them money, they collect money. Even many renowned churches. Some pastors enter the rank in those churches where they began to see money. The kind of money you cannot make in business. And they started collecting money. There is one, I heard information. They sacked one person, put another person, the same thing. Sacked that person, put another person, the same thing. As the person is coming, he's coming a good person. When he sat on the seat, there is a spirit of greed that is there waiting to control you. I hope you know that before we used to say, let believers contest for election, let Christians contest. My brother, it's not about answering a Christian, it's not about being a Christian. You must have gone deep in God well enough to retain a witness capacity, a development in character strong enough to withstand the pressure of those thrones. A throne has a life of its own, such that if you don't carry a priesthood that is strong enough, an altar that is strong enough, when a governor sits on a throne, even though he's a born again, tongue speaking, very soon you will find out that you start behaving according to the life that throne dictates. So it will not be possible for you to execute the things that you know that is godly, except you have generated enough energy on your altar to alter the power and the life that is coming from that throne. Are you with me? Perfection. So after some season, Jesus knew that he needed the witness of power. Now, after that time, he said, there is another higher level of witness. He said that that is the witness of my Father. But I want to stay somewhere. Why not show us that verse 15? My guys, Jesus. I say if you stay at the back, you will sleep. It's not your fault. Verse 35. He said, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing to rejoice in his light. Are you with me? Follow. There are two words that were mentioned here. Number one is burning. Number two is what?
Shining.
Now, we need to explain this scripture. Do you understand this scripture? It's not just enough for you to be saying that it's a burning and a shining light, burning and a shining light. How does it apply to you? What is the meaning of these two things in the spirit? Because when they ask John, who are you, said that my voice. But when they ask, this is Jesus giving accreditation to John, and he said that John is a burning and a shining light. So in the context of witness, there are two possibilities that the reality of John is supposed to have. Number one is the burning dimension. Number two is what? The shining dimension. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
I want to show you something. If it is possible that we will be able to analyze this scripture, then we might have to go to the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 16. Maybe let's start from verse 15. Listen, what I just wanted to teach you today is, if you want to give it a title, just call it the spirit and power of Elijah. I hope you know that the man, John the Baptist, he came and they asked him, who are you? He said that I'm a voice. They even asked him, are you the Messiah? He said no. Are you are you Elijah? He said no. But when Jesus appeared, the disciples began to ask him a question. When Jesus began to say that his ministry has been summarized, that he's about to leave, after the encounter that he had on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, he came down and began to tell them, don't say this thing until after my resurrection. So they began to wonder that the event that Jesus is talking about now is the event that can only take place after Elijah has returned, because the book of Malachi spoke about the Elijah that is coming. Are you with me? How many of you have read the book of Malachi? That Elijah will have to return first. So they began to ask questions. Why is it that Elijah has not returned and you are talking about you going? Are you getting the point? It was there that Jesus said, indeed, Elijah is coming and Elijah has already come. Two things. I'm not going there now. That means there is Elijah that has already come and there is Elijah that is still what? Coming. Because Jesus is going to come back again. And the reason why we know that the second coming of Jesus is soon, it's not just because of the visions of rapture. It's also because there are signs, there are things that must happen. The Bible says Elijah must come before. In fact, the Bible says he will come and restore all things. It is on that basis that Peter began to speak in the book of Acts chapter 2. He said that there is such a thing as the times of refreshing that will come from the presence of God. And after that, God will restitute all things. That word restitution means restore all things. And when there is a restoration of all things, what will happen is that God, Jesus, that is now being held up, he said he will be held up in the heavens until the restoration of all things. Now the question is, by what means will all things be restored? It is from the same mouth of Jesus that we understood that the principal capacity of the Elijah anointing is that he retains the capacity to restore all things. Are you with me? To make a way, a straight path for the Messiah to arrive. So this is what is happening here. Are you with me? Now, but the Elijah spirit is, Elijah is not necessarily a person. Elijah is a spirit. And once that spirit comes, it comes in Let's see. Luke chapter 1. Let's start from verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. This is talking about John. Huh? Listen. John was so small that he was not even aware of the prophecy that went ahead on his life. So when they asked him, he could have said that he is Elijah. But he said he is a voice. Now he said, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. But I'm going to 17. 17. Now, let's read it together. 1, 2, ready, go. Now, that's what is Elijah. He said, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power. That means there is the Elijah spirit. Huh? There is the spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah. Now, I'm going to show you the 6 fundamental components of the spirit of Elijah. Because there are components. I hope you know that in the scripture, Jesus came to a point and some people began to say a lot of things against them. I think a city rejected them. How many of you is in Samaria? A city rejected Jesus and his disciples came and said, let's call down fire on these people. Just like Elijah called down fire. What did Jesus answer them? He said that you know not of what spirit you are. Remember that the context is Elijah. Say Elijah.
Elijah.
The disciples said, we want to call down fire as Elijah called down fire. So Jesus said, you know not of what spirit you are. Now, that means that what the disciples understood only about the ministry of Elijah is only the power thereof. They didn't know that there is a spirit behind it. Now, it is the spirit of Elijah that controls many things about the man, Elijah. Are you getting the point? Now, if a man appears and begins to live according to the spirit, the demands, when the spirit of Elijah comes on you, he makes you to behave in a different way. Huh? So when we see a man begin to behave in the way that Elijah behaved, we will now realize that suddenly Elijah has appeared in our midst. Even though his name might not be Elijah, even though his name might be John. Huh? Follow me. So he said, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's see Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 to 6. I want to quickly show you something, then we go back to the. I want to touch the spirit of Elijah just a little, and then we go to the power of Elijah. I want to balance it because a season will come where people can only talk about the power and leave character. And some people will come and talk about character and leave power. Jesus never did that. There is always a balance. You see, anytime we talk about witness, some people, because of the school of. You know, there are blocks in the body of Christ. Depending on where you are coming from, you can decide that the only thing it takes to bear witness is just your character. But the scripture is trying to tell us that the fundamental spirit that we usher in the move of God of the last days will be divided into the spirit and the power dimension. So when a man retains the witness supported by the spirit of Elijah, that is not enough. When a man retains the witness supported by the power of Elijah, that is not enough. As a matter of fact, the prophecy that was hanging upon John was that he will go forth in the spirit and the power of Elijah. But we notice, did you notice the life of John? He only moved in the spirit of Elijah. We never saw the power. John didn't raise cripples, even though his ministry retains the capacity to do that. I know you don't know, but that is. Have you ever wondered why Jesus came to the point and said, in the book of, is it Luke chapter 11 or Matthew chapter 11? He said that since Matthew 11, right? He said that since the days of John the Baptist, that the kingdom, you see that there are two places in the scripture. He said that the laws and the prophets, amen. The law and the prophets spoke until John. Now, it means that in the days of John, there is a summary, there is a new regime that manifested. There was an oppression. As a matter of fact, in extension, Jesus was saying that there is no greater prophet than John. All the people we know in the Bible. So on what basis is Jesus saying that John is the greatest prophet? How many visions did John see? How many visions? Now, I need to tell you, that is also a fact to prove to you that many of the people you call prophets are not prophets. Because the basis upon which they call people prophets in our generation is because of gifts. But in the days of the Bible, you become a prophet because of the mandate that you are carrying, the kind of life you are living, the message that is on your lips, the possibilities that you sustain in the spirit. I hope you know that men can walk with God in such a way that they can be a carrier, custodians of divine possibilities. Their appearance makes men enter into some things in God just because they are there. Are you with me? Before John, it was not possible for men to enter into repentance, but John appeared in the wilderness. He was there. The Bible said that he sat between two rivers, the River Jordan and Bethabara, and he sat there and began to baptize people, such that everybody that came desiring to enter into a new experience and relationship with God can enter it through the ministry of John. It was, his ministry was so robust, are you with me, that a point came in the book of Acts chapter 18 and then over to 19, that there is a certain disciples that Paul met at Ephesus and asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What was the answer? He said that we don't know that there is anything as the Holy Ghost. He said, what happened to you? He said that we repented, and the baptism that we are baptizing to was the baptism of who? John. It was then that we found out that there is a possibility that John sustained that is not too different from the one that Jesus sustained. Now, we need to know what was the context and scope of that possibility that made John able to preach something that did. Do you know what John preached? I'm going to show you. What John preached is the kingdom. And when Jesus came, he began to preach the kingdom. It is only in the context of the kingdom that men, repentance will be demanded of men. There is nothing new that Jesus preached, different from what John preached. It is on that basis that men began to come to God on the basis of their repentance, trying to change their ways. So when Jesus came, he said, there is no man bigger than John. Every other person is talking about the day and the regime to come. John came and became a window to that regime. He became a door to that regime. So Jesus said, there is no man bigger than John. Because the things that the prophets prophesied about, John came and began to live it. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's see. Verse 2. He said, and saying, maybe let's start from verse 1. I technical. Let's start from verse 1. He said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching where?
Okay, so I want to bring out something quick. There are six components of the Elijah spirit, the spirit of Elijah. The Bible says that he came, in those days he came to the wilderness of Judea preaching. So the first component, are you with me? The first component of the spirit of Elijah is self-time location. Self-time location. See, let me tell you. These are the, once you see this thing at work in the life of a man, you will know that he has entered into the spirit of revival. The spirit of Elijah is the spirit of revival, the spirit of reformation, the spirit of restoration, the spirit of restitution, the spirit that have the capacity to turn people that doesn't want to serve God. I'm going to come again. What another component is his message. I hope you know that John appeared. And do you know his message? He said, he looked at the priests, the Pharisees, and said, "Oh, you brood of vipers." And as he's saying it, they are still crying and giving their life to Christ. Ah, how many of you are from Lagos? You stay in Lagos. You stay in Lagos. My sister, you can't preach that, you know. If you preach it, your members will leave. If I look at you and it's not that you have not been a pastor. If you have been a pastor, you know what pastors have suffered. You have building projects. And one guy came and met you and said, "Pastor, how much will you take?" "Okay." But you are not the one carrying it on your head. It's an institution. Come and tell you, "Pastor, how much will you take to roof this place? You can't. You take 15 million. And I take this check. It's 10 million. I will bring the remaining 5 next week." Huh? And then he's your friend on WhatsApp. Are you with me? And then he posted a clip of where he went to a club. Huh? And they are singing, what's the raining song now? Is that one a song? I don't know what he meant, but that one is raining in Christian cycle. You know, I mean worldly song. The one that, okay, let's say the man now posted, anyone you think. The days that we knew song was there. The days that we knew song was there. The days of people like Two Face when we were in secondary school, late 90s and early 2000s. So, those are the ones. I'm not sure if there are any people like, I don't know if people still know it. I've even forgotten. Jesus saved me. He didn't just save me from sin, he saved me from the world and the filth that we filled our mind with. Those days we can sing the full chapter, verse after verse, and I can't sing any hymn. There are some people like this, they will come and tell you they are not in choir, they can't sing some, you are lying. But before you got born again, you know many songs, they are singing verse after verse. What does it mean? Take again? It's just to work on your voice. What else do you need? You can remember verse after verse, you say you can't stay in choir. You are my master, my friend. So the man will post it on. I've seen some of those people, they posted it. When I looked at it, I wanted to pass. I wanted to let them know that I saw it. And now, yes, quickly saw it, then left. Later, after 2 weeks, they will come and tell me, "Pastor, they want to sow seed." They will chat me, they want to sow seed. And I need money. But I don't even respond to that kind of message. I don't even have time to tell you it's bad. My silence is enough. And my boys that know me, once you do such a thing, there is an emoji that, you see, my sister, you put your hand in your mouth like this. How many of you have seen that one? And you are thinking, that thinking, once you tell me that thing, I will put my hand and I will be thinking. So you mean you don't know what happened before? You are waiting for me to tell you. One of the major problems in the body of Christ is that we accepted financial support from people that are not disciples. You see, before God will need your money, he will need your heart. Unfortunately, we have found a way to move around the heart of the people and collect their money. Eh? And because we have collected their money, they continue to grow. They continue to grow in rank in our church. After some time, they became elders. And because they became elders, you want to grow. Maybe you came back from youth service, you came back with fire. And you said, we are going to, how many of you, it has not happened to you, came back from campus and you came back with fire. You said, you see, this church is dull, we need to break fire. You preach one message, leave one prayer. Somebody will take microphone, say, it's not about praying in tongues. It's about cleaning your father's car. It's about washing. The problem is not that thing they're saying. You have smuggled fire. They don't want to hear it. Sometimes the way they behave and their view about life, you wonder how they manage to become pastors. What system trained this kind of people? Unfortunately, they are sitting in positions to subdue men of fire that is about to rise in the rank. Are you seeing it? We collected money from them and they were never disciples. Are you a pastor? Have you been around pastors? Huh? It's not an easy thing. They are telling you rent. Huh? Rent 1.5 million and all the money you have is just 200k. And a guy walked in with his girlfriend and he's bouncing like this. And he came and said, Pastor, how much is that rent? He said, 1.5 million. He said, just manage this 2 million. And then he will sit at the back and be chewing gum and be listening to your message. Before God, let that church, if I'm the one, let it fold up. Let me go back. Eh? If God lacks the capacity to support that kind of engagement, it means that he didn't even send me in the first place. That possibly that hall that you rented that you are paying 2 million, you just went beyond your capacity. Maybe you went there to say to prove to people that God is working in your life. You went beyond your capacity. And then if it wasn't God that sent you, you have to sustain that move by a means that is not from God. Because God will show you that he is not the one. So many people left on agendas that is their own and then they want to. They are the one that manufactured the agenda. You know, how many of you have heard this phrase, put God in everything you are doing? In everything you are doing, put God. Is it correct?
No.
The thing is, you follow God and then, the Bible said, seek first the kingdom. Then what will happen? Other things follow. Seek first the kingdom. That thing you are saying, add God, is other things that should be added. God is not added. Huh? You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't finish deciding what to do. You say, Holy Spirit, help me and do this. No. He's a king spirit. You know what is a king spirit? He's not one of the spirits you go and invoke. You send on errand. You don't know. No, he's a king spirit. He's the one that will tell you where to go. Huh? That is why sons are being led. The Bible says, as many as being led. Means the Holy Ghost is the one leading you. You don't decide, you are going. Now I'm telling, follow me. As I'm going, follow me. As I'm going, follow me. Huh? That is not the way. Are you with me? Tell me, say amen.
Amen.
So location. John was found in the wilderness. Where are you? You see, wilderness is not necessarily a physical place. Wilderness is a place it's a place around your life that can be able to house the dealings of God. You see, how many of you have read the book of Exodus? The Bible came, I think, in Joshua, Deuteronomy. He came and said, I led you through this wilderness for 40 years. For what reason? What was the reason the Bible said? He said, I led you for 40 years so that I will test your heart. Huh? That means the purpose of the wilderness is what? To release demons for them and test their heart. Remove certain things. Huh? There are many things you will never become until God passes you through process. And I hope you know, that process is not possible except you find yourself in a certain environment. How many of you have read the book of Philippians chapter 2? Huh? Philippians chapter 2, the Bible was speaking in the book of Philippians chapter 2. He said that Jesus, being found in the fashion as a man, suffered. Do you know what it means? It means that there is a fashion, there is a mold that Jesus took so that he will be able to suffer. There is a mode you will take. You can't suffer. There is a word you will take, you can't suffer.
So Jesus needed to suffer so that he will become who he is. And because of that, he was derobed of his deity. He became a normal man like us so that he will be hungry. Are you with me? So that he will be tired. So that he will be sleepy. So that he will come to MCCF state conference by 11:30 in the night. He will be sleeping. Meanwhile, his destiny is hanging on it. You know, many of you are young. You will remember this, my message, in 5 years' time. And probably you will look for it on the internet to go and download. I'm telling, I'm sure. This one, I'm sure that many of you here will seek for this message in some years' time to download and listen. You will now know that there is something he said that time that I'm supposed to hear again here. I was in a pastor's meeting, and the reason why I'm here is because I heard what others did here. After long prayers, I was tired, I wanted to sleep. I just felt a hand hold me. He said, give me 2 more hours. I thought when I thought the impact of that voice would make all my tiredness to go. Guess what? He didn't go. The person telling me, give me 2 more hours, is expecting me to push beyond the boundaries of my human limitations and enter into a last place in God. After praying for 2 hours, I will not tell you what happened. That is another story, but that's why I'm here. Men are embodiment of series of encounters that they have. So the Bible spoke about Jesus and said, being found in the fashion as a man, he suffered. Is it not true? There is a way you'll be found, you won't suffer. I'm telling you. That is why, part of the reason why God separated you from where you are and brought you here is so that you will suffer. I mean, the purpose of the suffering is to release demons to you. Do you know that, are you with me?
Yes.
Do you know that there are people that can be part of the executive here? Doesn't mean that they will be leaders in the kingdom tomorrow. I was telling, where is the secretary? I was telling him something the other day. I was telling him that while we were serving, our assistant general secretary. Hey, why am I saying this? The lady might go and listen to this thing. Our messages are people from Tulsa, Oklahoma, South America. People from Zambia, South Africa, Ghana, Sierra Leone. In fact, the conference we are about to hold, people are coming, and you are saying somebody in Nigeria won't hear it. You are the only one. You have to be careful. Before you know it, some people will come in and say, I said this. I say, when? You know, somebody will come and meet you and be greeting you as if he knows everything about your life. Because some of us that are, if you are a good teacher, most of the times you cannot separate your teaching from your life. Yes. If you live your life correctly for 10 years and study Bible correctly for 10 years or even 5 years, you will have what to preach. The problem in the body of Christ is that people are preaching without living. Meanwhile, the Bible spoke in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1. What do you say? Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So the authority of his teaching ministry came from his lifestyle. Are you with me all?
Yes, sir.
So there is a form you need to take for you to suffer. The lady was so busy with activities. Sometimes, the general secretary will hold the person down. Hold her down till 2 a.m. She was doing night vigil, but not in seeking God. But when we are in camp those days, we are the people that we are in prayer unit and firing prayers. I told her, sister, it's not as if there is only people, I'm suspecting that you will look for something. 2 months to our passing out, she suddenly realized that she is behind schedule and began to pray and fast. But it was a race against time.
Meanwhile, there is somebody there that is not part of the executive. The person is part of our prayer team as of now. That lady has risen in rank so much that she's standing shoulder to shoulder with them. I don't want to say, if I anything I say, people that will listen to this message, if it's recorded, will know the person I'm talking about. So I don't want to say it. But out of all of us that did those things, it was not the people we were expecting that became the custodians of the move of God that went through our lives. The lady that we are not expecting. The day that I met her, she couldn't pass 6 to 12. If she enters 6 to 12 passing, her nose will be dripping, headache, all kinds of pain, all kinds of things. If you are a lady here, you are tired, you are whatever, you are qualified. It's people like you I'm here for. All the people that think they are there already, I'm not here for you. You have made it already. Let me look for people that need help. People like me, call me, I need help. If you have arrived, I'm not here. I'm for here. You know, they are women of God. I go Satan. And there are men of God. When you speak, they put their hand like this. Don't worry, we'll know in 5 years time. You know how about putting your hand like this. That it might be true, but most times the people like this, nothing they enter inside. The reason is that they have shielded themselves off from realities, new realities. But the Bible said that there is a hard posture you need to sustain. He said, come with meekness to the engrafted word that is able to build you up. So a man that is lacking meekness cannot enter into new realities in God. God will hide it in such a way that you can't enter. A lady that came fast 6 to 12 later became a giant. That people began to reckon with. If we think about the move that went through our knees, we count 1, 2, 3, 4 people. She's one. She's amongst them. But she came in weak. Forget about those things. That's what I need to tell you. That God needs to move. And if it is possible that you can be here, and you are even a pastor. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I went to you serve as a pastor. But I didn't even tell the executives and the people there that I was even a pastor. In fact, my persecution started because they did interview me. They were doing interview for me. And they started asking me about my work with God, my Christian life. How is your prayer life like? How is your study life? That's when I made them. They brought one or two senior friends from we call them Papa, those days, to come and help in the interview. And as they were asking questions, with my sincere heart, I was answering. They said, what is your study life like? I said, well, sometimes I study for 16 hours straight, sometimes 18 hours. The guy looked at me and goes, from that day, the guy became my enemy. Look at this number. I didn't know that probably the man is struggling with 1 hour, 2 hours of their type. And this number is saying he's doing 18 hours. What are you trying to prove? So what is your prayer life? Like, say sometimes I go for, I do 3 hours, 6 hours. This is not the day. These days people organize 12 hours prayer. Those days is rain. One of the greatest things the man that handed over to me achieved is that he's the one that started Festival of Tongues. He will start from 8 and stop by 3. 8 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. It was a big thing for us those days. By the time I came in, I made it an institution. It's normal to pray for long hours. Where will you even see me? They don't see me those days. They will see me like this as you are talking and doing.
Oh.
You know, how many of you have eaten before? You know, if you are eating, then when you eat for some time, you drink water. So there are tons. It's then you should take water. You need to digest heavy elements. Heavy elements. So those days, sometimes I will go to Assemblies of God in Ghana and check it those days in Abuja. And then I will pray from morning till I will be coming back by 5 in the evening because of this host prayer. I will come back, I am drunk. After leading the prayer, I will come in. I will look at the people in the family house. They will be like sheep without shepherd, scattered on the mountains. I say, and these people are well they are going, sir. Look at how they are walking carelessly. I will see some ladies, they will be, I said, has this one touched body? Don't mind me. It's where I came from. I was reconfigured by where I'm coming from. Huh? If you look at my face, you can't say anything frivolous. I will just enter, I'll be looking at people's eyes. Everybody will be clear. I want to greet you. The person that is shouting will suddenly become quiet. If I come in, you will know I'm coming from the roots, from the wilderness. Huh? The level of divine presence I'm coming with is so much that people, at some point, they refuse to shake my hands. Because to shake my hands is to stay under power. Sometimes I will come and sit. It took me long to master how to wear my garment, remove it and wear it. Like, how many knees do I have? Where is Peter? Huh? Okay. My God! You gave me a time, and this is not reflecting the time you gave me. Is it not true? It's reflecting. Okay, I will wear to show you what I'm saying. We'll wear the garment in the next 10 minutes. But don't say, I don't know how to wear it. I don't know how to remove it. I'm always wearing it. I'll be in the kitchen. I'll be collecting moi from the kitchen. And the lady came and told me, Prayo, I have a call. I perceive, say, take my hand. Boom! She prayed for 2 days. After some time, I'll come and tell you, how are you? If I say, how are you? Say, I'm fine. Except you want to be immobilized for some time. Immobilized. There is an uncompleted giving. I will sit there and keep my hands like this. Once you come in the perimeter of my hand, somebody, a sister came and asked me, are you a human being? All we don't know those is that it's just Christian anointing. God is just testing us with nothing. That thing is nothing. It's not a serious matter. Of course, many people camp there. But we have to go beyond those regions because God began to show us that we need to develop something in the spirit and have the capacity to affect territories. Huh? Where is the guy playing? Come and play again. Come and try. If he's not around, as he has gone to sleep. Huh? Come. May the Lord help you. Jesus.
Yes.
Play on strings. Play on E, E flat. E or E flat. Wait for him. So that is where we are going to go. Maybe I will suspend my lecture for now. Let me suspend my lecture so that we do some practicals. Amen? The Christian faith is meant to be practicalized. Without practicals, it's not possible for men to know that the things we speak about are living an organic reality.
Remember what the scripture spoke in the book of Luke chapter 4. He came to verse 18. He said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. And he began to list out the possibilities that accompanies an accurate preaching ministry. It was there that we realized that when a man has preached well, it is a capacity to open a window of possibility for men in the spirit. So that they can walk inside the very thing you are speaking about. Have you not noticed? When you preach about power, power comes. Holiness, holiness comes. Meaning that preaching is an avenue for you to open up a window of possibility for men in the spirit. And on the day that a man has preached according to the scope that the scripture has defined, people can walk into the organic reality of what you speak about. So you see men speak about things and men can't walk into it. It is just letters that can kill. The Bible said that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. That means encoded in them is the life of God. A possibility, a conveyor of the possibilities of God. When men hear it, they are ferried to the same place. They are ferried for yonder. That is the possibilities that arise when we preach. Are you with me, sister? Are you with me? That is why. That is why the scripture has to show us that beyond the spirit, there is a power of Elijah. Have you heard of the man Elijah? When he has said, we didn't know where he came from. The scripture just told us Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite. I believe he also lives in the woods and in the wilderness, the mountains. The mountains of God. He came down and he spoke to Ahab. He said, before the Lord God whom I stand. Are you with me? It's only you that think I'm standing in your life. It's only people thought Elijah is standing on Mount Carmel. But he told them that you are seeing me on Carmel, but my reality in the spirit is Zion. I am standing before God. Even though what we are seeing in the physical plane is yonder, but in the spirit, I'm standing before God. He said, before the Lord God, whom I was, I stand. See, let me tell you, just because we are here physically, we are standing in different planes in the heavenly tabernacle. Are you with me? There are men standing in the upper court, some holy place, some holiest of all, and they are beholding the Shekinah. The ministry of the cherubs and seraphs of fire is what is surrounding their ministry. The very glory, the Shekinah of God's presence is shining. That is where you stand. And then when you stand in that place, every man and angel that stood at that point in the altar, in the tabernacle, speaks with the first person language. Are you with me? That was where Gabriel was standing. And then Zechariah asked him a question. He said, what are you even saying? How will this thing happen? And then Gabriel came and told him, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth before the presence. These are men of the presence. Men that know how to travel. And then because of how much they have done business in that place, they can convey the very presence of God. They are living as mobile altars. The possibilities of God is very give me volume because of the fact that they have appeared. Are you with me? So Elijah stood on that mountain and God stood on that mountain. Because of Elijah, a human being. That was why when James came in trying to make people understand the scope of the anointing, the grace, the power, the possibilities that was given to Elijah. He said, Elijah is a man of like passions. But he prayed, and then certain things became possible to him. It was then that we found out that men stop because they want to stop. When you are powered by a nation's spirit, the Holy Ghost is the one moving you. There is nothing you can't touch in God. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it said, now the Lord is that spirit. And where is
Spirit of the Lord is, there is access. Access in two dimensions in God. As long as a man is hungry, he can enter into things. As long as you are hungry, as long as you are thirsty. It was in those days, Elijah was about to be faint, and he came and told Elijah, Elijah, what do you want? Elijah said, I want a double portion. I want the anointing of the firstborn. Elijah told him, if you will see me when I'm coming. Men retain their immortal dimensions in the realm where they are coming. There is a place where you are coming. When you are normal, you are more retain your possibilities. The Bible said the holy men spake as they were carried. In the place of carriage, men retain their possibilities. You can enter into their experience. You can touch their anointing, their mantle, and then the things that they have in the spirit will become yours simply because you saw it. Is your eyes open? Elijah said, will you see? If you can see, then you will touch the power of Elijah. That is the power that will restore things in this last days. The spirit of revival that will come in a city, just like it came on the apostles. He said that this man that come is upside down has appeared here. In those days, women were numbered amongst the apostles because of the grace. What can make a woman have advantage in a world that has brought it to a point where women seem as if they are malign? It's only the spirit and power. When the power of God comes on a woman, nobody will despise you, my friend. What you need is the power. When you have power, even a man will stand and know that you have what you need. You submit. Men don't submit because you tell them to submit. They submit because they see something in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The last days is crying out. They say we want to see God. Everybody is preaching everywhere. But we need God on display. We are not seeing the portrait of the true God. God displayed in dimensions that is infallible, notable.
And he said, will I pour down the pot of fire?
when we finish from that meeting, everybody that came changed. No more men began to carry fire. They became compulsed in the spirit. We saw that the people we thought were normal, something needed to be started into their life. They need to be infused from our heart. When it came, we saw women, weak women. They groaned and prayed as if their life depended on it. It was the season of the work of God. We saw women open bright eyes, 7 years. They stood before demons and demons cried out. Territories were subject to them. It was because the regime of power came. Power. It is not possible for you to bear witness for God. That is the context of the body and the shining life. To raise witness sufficient enough to declare that Jesus is still alive. Remember what the scripture said in the book of Acts chapter 4. He said, when they were persecuted, they went back to their company and prayed. He said, Oh God, before they are threatening, Christ, in the name of your only Son Jesus, that miracle, signs, and wonders will be done. Huh? The Bible said, after they have prayed, the Holy Ghost came, filled him. He said after them, that we create power. I see two angels enter here now. Listen, things have begun to happen. I see two angels enter here. One enter from the right side, another from the left side. And they are angels of power. Some of you, the encounters we have here, if you step with you for 3 days, you are not recovered. No. If you're outside, enter inside. Anybody that is not inside should not come in again. All shall see something. We have changed them now. We have changed them. Lift up your hands and cry to God in 1 minute. Tell him, Father, I want to do something. Something that my generation will testify about. Which of them something your generation needs to do?
take your position. Anybody that comes under power, bring it to this front. We consecrate this front as the Holy Ghost show.
Yeah. 20 people will be voted with fire. With power, you will see a dramatic shift. The differences will take place. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to release your power, capacity for witness, capacity for witness, capacity for witness, capacity for witness, capacity, dynamic, dynamic power, dynamic power, let it come, let it come, let the fire descend. 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 Fireless. 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 We come under power. There will be plenty of activations. Activations. Also, please help me and find them. Bring them to the front now. Also. End of smooth. Move. Let me identify them. I see the anointing of the water. The watchman anointing. Yellow, just stand with him or around him. I want to be able to identify people in his name. Fight.
Listen. There is still a young man I'm looking for. Lift your hands. This person I'm talking about. Sometimes you will be in your vision and you will see yourself preaching to a crowd, not in a church, it's not in a church setting. You will see yourself in a procession and you will minister to crowds. And you can't even explain what you are telling them. What you know is that as you speak, the force of your words will compel men to give their life to Christ. I decree over your life now, as I speak, that anointing will come upon you. There are two things it will do for you. It will give you the anointing of the anakazo to compel men, and then God will give you your terrors of fire. When you speak, conviction will come upon men. They can't explain it. The hardest of sinners will come to Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I stand from the office of my coming, and I activate those evangelists now in the name of Jesus. At the count of three, let the fire of God come upon them. One, two, three, take, fire,
help me and find them. He's still in many. Help me and find them. Holy Ghost. By fire. 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 He's coming. He's coming. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, let it descend. Let it descend stronger. 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 We are the better in Holy Ghost. We are the better in Holy Ghost. We are the better in Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
Michael is a warrior, but not by motion. Lift up your hands, especially if you are a psalmist, you are called as a worship and music maker. Some of you have not been called to it, you don't even know how to sing. But you'll be releasing sounds. My God. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. The anointing is coming now. The anointing is coming now. You can dislodge the alignment in heaven because of your worship. You can invoke angelic presence because of your worship. You will understand sound like David. David was a man of war, but he trained in warfare with sound. He used sound to train in warfare. Father, let the anointing come, let it come, let it come. Let it come, let it come. Let it come, let it come. An angel is going to touch you, lift up your hands. An angel is going to touch you strong. Very, very strong. He's going to touch you. He's going to touch you. He's going to touch you. Father, help me and find those ones. Help me and find them. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. Warrior worshippers. People that will make the sound of war in these last days. In this revival, they will carry the sound of war. They will carry the alarm of the spirit. They will turn it into songs. They will turn it into sounds. Even mysteries and signs of fire. Holy Ghost! They will bring revival wherever they minister. They will carry holiness and purity in their presence. Is it many one person? Lift up your hands. One person. One person. Help me and find that person. By your fire. By your fire. It doesn't matter whether you have sung before. I'm not necessarily talking about sound. By your fire. By your fire. Let your garment come upon that person now. Holy Ghost. Let your garment come. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Listen, lift up your hands, your right hand like this. Come, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Silabaha tekush, panaha tekai, netesh, what as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Take! Your right hand. Pray for 2 minutes. The anointing will come on it, and I will tell you what to do with it. Lift up your hands. Pray. Make sure you are praying. Be conscious. Be conscious. Walk in the consciousness that something is being released. Disorder at your right hand. find your number. There will be activation. Prophetic activation. Prophetic activation. Many things that have laid dormant in your life will be activated. Some of you will experience deliverance. My God. My God. My God. My God. My God. Holy Ghost, listen. Holy Ghost, I ask you to move by fire and let your energy be conducted by this hand. Let it be conducted by this hand. Let it be conducted. 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 It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Some of you are being released into the prophetic. Some of you are receiving activation. Power is being transmitted. Fire, fire. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. From my left to my right, front to back. Left to right, front to back. Holy Ghost, move. 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 God is moving through those hands now. Through those hands now. Prophets will prophesy because the prophetic anointing will come upon you very soon. Three prophets, three prophets, three prophets. Father, let the prophetic anointing descend. At the count of seven, one, descend. Two, descend. Three, descend. Four, descend. Yes, that's the anointing. Very strong anointing. Very strong anointing. There is another prophet. The Lord will not just touch your lips. You will also touch your eyes. You will see and you will speak. Where is the person, Holy Ghost? Let me find. Let me find the person. Let me find the person. Lift up your hands.
close your eyes and see your family in the spirit. Huh? And begin to decree and declare and war in the next 3 minutes concerning your family. Your family is now. Somebody pray, somebody pray. Under this anointing, under this cloud of glory, under this corporate grace, bringing new possibilities into your family.
Another set of people I'm seeing is, are you the one? Just kneel down. Another person I'm seeing is, sometimes you see yourself in school, but this time around, when you see yourself in school, you see yourself in primary and secondary school, places you have passed before. Just kneel down. That is the spirit of stagnation. The spirit of stagnation and retrogression. Just kneel down and begin to cry to God. The yoke will break. The sign, pray. The rest of the people, pray for them. Lift up your hands as you pray. God will begin to do all that is. Pray. Make sure you are praying. Let me hear some. Pray. The sign is that the power of God will come on two of you. Very strong. Two people among you. Very strong. You are not praying. Whether it's deafness, if it's partial deafness, just take this index finger. If it's the right ear, just take it and close that ear. Now let me tell you, the healing anointing works by instruction.
So you just have to obey the instruction the way it's going. Now, if any part of your body is ailing you, take your right hand, place on that part of your body. If it's a private, if you can't just place your hand there, don't place your hand on your head. Maybe what is happening to you is fine. So probably you can't put your hand there. Just put your hand on your head. Are you with me? Now listen. As you do it, in the next 3 minutes, the healing will break out in this place. Take your hands and put them. Put your hands there. Put your hands there. Be fast. Quickly. There is somebody. You are having heart palpitation. Seem as if your heart is beating fast. Sometimes it will beat fast. The Lord is healing you right now. In the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. In the name of Jesus. Listen. I want your amen to be better. So that I will be able to distinguish sound and sight in the spirit. If your amen is better, I will be able to distinguish, differentiate sounds and sight in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. If you are having pain by your side, the left side, the Lord is healing you now in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke every spirit of infirmity. Whatever your name is, I charge you to live now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke pain to go. Pain go in the name of Jesus. I command every deafening spirit, go in the name of Jesus. I command every blinding spirit, go in the name of Jesus. I command every kind of infection to leave. Every growth in your body, I command it to be materialized. We came to a meeting and somebody had growth in the body. As we are praying, the growth disappeared. Every pain is gone now in the name of Jesus. Ulcer goes in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Fever, headache, all kinds of infection, throat infection, all the names, all the kinds. Catarrh, cough. It goes now in the name of Jesus. I command cancer. I command growth, infection to leave now in the name of Jesus. Toothache. I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Toothache. Go. In the name of Jesus. I declare healing in your bodies. Healing is in your bodies. Healing in your bodies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. God is healing. Check yourself. See, it was Kenneth Hagin that taught us that one of the ways to retain your healing is to testify. I went to a meeting, I prayed for people. Just because people are used to people ministry and nothing is happening, they didn't come out. When I was about to enter the car to heal, the people now met me. One of the guys was going to examine NTA and he already had issues, muscle pain issues. It's obvious that if he goes for the physical training, he's going to pay. In that meeting, God healed him, he wasn't even expecting it. In another one, the guy that is on the camera, as he was doing the video work, he was healed of pain in two places. He was not expecting that God will heal him. Another guy was holding people when I was preaching. He had an injury when he was in secondary school. He fell down from the bunk. He was in the boarding school and broke his shoulder. And the pain continued with him to the university. The team left. The guy was crying like a baby because he never expected that the team would go. Listen to me, you are healed now in the name of Jesus. If you notice that the pain has gone, I want to just take just 7 testimonies, just 7. Just come to this side. My God. Who will moderate for me now? Come on, moderate. Come and find out her testimony. Get a mic. 7. Once you notice, come and join the line like this. Come and join the line. Once we are 7, I will stop. So if you check and you notice that God has healed you, come out and testify quickly. Come out and testify. Sometimes when people give their testimonies, other people will be healed. I was ministering in a miracle service 2 weeks ago, and as people were giving their testimony, somebody heard another person's testimony and became healed.
What happened? What happened? Now listen. Listen. What happened? There was no feeling on it before. Since when? Since yesterday. And then after the prayer, the feeling came back. Are you sure? Somebody come and pinch her. Come and pinch her. I want a lady calling a guy in my injury. Sister, come and pinch her. Let's know whether it's the pain. You think when you are is permanent in the name of Jesus? You are blessed. Let's find out quickly. Clap for Jesus. Clap. Some people can't give me up to the that sister at the back. Touch down my sister. Take out the clap, man. My sister, can you do it up? Wait. Can you do it? At least come up now. You can't do, but you can. There is one you can do. What's that one? Clap. Yes, are you sure? Check yourself. Do like this. Is the pain still there? Now, wow. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. The greatest enemy of fasting is fasting. The greatest enemy of fasting is ulcer. Not just ulcer. Ulcer and your bogus appetite.
Go!
Let's find out. My brother, what happened? How can somebody like you be sick? Now, wow. This sickness is not the fear of truth. And the thing that small. And your own has gone too.
Clap for Jesus, my friend. You are not glad to go wrong.
I told you. Come. I told you. Once you start giving testimony, you will suddenly notice your own testimony. You see, in his mind, he has forgotten that he needed a miracle somewhere. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. God bless. What happened? Even the president can be sick. See, sickness is not your friend. I want you to be angry with sickness, not just to be ill. But anywhere you see sickness, attack it like a devil. There's a man called John Gillick. He thought sickness is just normal, it's normal illness, until God opened his eye to see that sickness is caused by Satan. Let me tell you, number one lesson you must learn if you make progress in spiritual warfare and conquering territories for God is to fundamentally understand that evil is a person and good is a person. The teachings and circumstances of life will teach you that evil is circumstance, is happening, is event, but evil is a person. The Bible said, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that we be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then what? But what? No, if you check that word well, the word there is not from all evil. It is deliver us from the evil one. That is the correct thing, that is the correct translation. Many translations have it. To show you that evil is a person. Good is a person. God is good. Have you not read the scripture? A man came and met Jesus and said, good master. Jesus said, nobody is good except God. Are you saying Jesus is not good? No, Jesus is trying to tell him that something is not good because it is something you experience. It is good because it's God. That means the good in you is the God in you. After all, to show somebody is good in the classroom is not good, but it's not God.
Are you getting the point? Exam malpractice is a good that is not God. And as far as God is not in it, it's not good. So there is a good that is not God. Are you getting the point? If you are not aware that good is a person, you will come and meet a good that is not God and accept it and say everything is there. That is what we call the gospel of universalism. I don't want to go there. When you get there, they say that as long as you are doing good, no matter whether you accepted Jesus or not, no matter your religion, wherever you are going to heaven, that is the gospel of universalism. The basis of their doctrine is humanism. All you need to do, once you are good to your fellow human, is okay. But the Bible says there is no other name given in heaven to end, whereby a man will be saved. Huh? You are good, you have not encountered Jesus. Your good is like self-righteousness. The best it can be is a GD rank. Now, so let's hear. Yeah.
Amen. You be like, now you they organize this program for. How many of you notice? Sometimes, let me stop. Let me not say this. May I continue?
Find out.
Hallelujah. I
Yes.
Whenever I did the love of my life,
Jesus.
Clap for Jesus.
How many years? Let's say from your foot to the mind. How many years? 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. There are people that have it, they had accidents, yeah? And then the injury healed, but it didn't heal. There is still something in between the place that there was fracture. You know what happened? A demon went inside there and lodged itself. I hope you know, anytime there is hurt, there is an experience that brought hurt in your life, yeah? Most often than not, it is a gateway for a demon to come in. That is why if somebody is hurt, that's not the time to continue. You need to be healed of the hurt, else it becomes a gateway for demons to come in. And it's not just in your soul now. It can also happen in this. I just showed you practical on helping people get cancer. It's coming in the name of Jesus. What's it? Tell me. Yes. The next question. Shoulder pain, it has gone. If you have pain, and you still have the means you want to go with it, God told me to clear pain. Anywhere I see pain, I should tell pain to go. You want to go with your own. Has it gone? I say your pain will go. You can't stay. The only reason why the test is for pain, for the system, the ketos. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. Check yourself on that pain. It's gone. What happened? A headache, right? The thing went. You can't see it again. That is a sickness. It is permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Because I was standing, I was thinking about how much I was told that to make my leg happen. But then I didn't even remember it because my leg was feeling good. When you actually said mention, then I had to check that.
Let's clap for Jesus. See the way it is. Yes. See the way she's giving her testimony. Let's pay. Brothers and sisters, let's celebrate Jesus.
When I was here, you were praying about pain, different types of pain. I kept up telling God, mention my own matter, mention my own matter. And then you mentioned that today, you not once, not twice. I kept on mentioning, like, aha. Yes, God.
Somebody clap for Jesus. Your desire and confession is my name. See, you have today. You know their thing.
I have.
You have. He has gone. Check whether he is still there.
You know, like, I want to come and testify.
Come and testify. Say you want to. See this question.
say you want to. Let me tell you, sometimes, see, sometimes.